If your head hits the pillow and you're out like a night each light, out like a light each night, congratulations, I guess. For most of us, sleep is a little more complex than that. And for more and more of us, bedtime involves tech, wearable sleep trackers like rings and watches, even gadgets that can go under your mattress. Sleep monitoring is a booming industry, but is all this extra data helping people get more rest? Or is it just extra noise? With me is Dr. Donald Lee, who's a respiratory and sleep physician at the Wilcock Institute of Medical Research, and Dr. Dean Miller, a sleep and circadian scientist at CQ University. Donald, I might start with you. Have you noticed that more patients want to talk to you about their sleep data?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I have. I mean, it's a question that comes up every day on numerous occasions every day. My tech says this, I feel terrible. Mm. But, so the question I normally go back to them is, well, how do you actually feel if you don't look at your tech? Because I think that's probably the essence of it.
What do they say when you ask them that?
I don't know. that's half the time. That's what happens, right? So, so I challenge them to actually have a time when they don't look at their technology and really, because we didn't have tech all the time, and everyone sleeps.
So, yeah, I mean, we've been sleeping since before we were even humans, but in the last few years we do have this tech. It's more available to us. Why do you think it's been so popular?
I think the We're becoming more aware as a society of our health concerns, and generally, you know, we're curious about our bodies. We're curious about what our bodies do. So, I mean, it's a very useful tool with these sleep tech, sleep tracking tech, for our journey of self discovery in terms of what our body does. A majority of people use the technology as part of the fitness tracker. I mean, somehow sleep tracking came on board after fitness trackers came on board, right? It was a tacked on thing. So really, for people who are engaged daily, to know about to give, I guess, some idea of what their sleep is like is not a bad thing. And it opens up avenues to talk about the rest of their health as well.
Well, Dean, you're working with pretty high-level sleep tracker users. You work with elite athletes like Olympians. What kind of data are you looking for when you're working with them?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the boom in sleep tracking in general and fitness trackers is, well, primarily born out of the athlete space. A lot of the wearables you see today sort of exploded when star athletes started endorsing them, and people wondered if they could also track their physiology on a 24/7 basis. But yeah, when we work with athletes, we really want to focus on the aggregate measures. So how much sleep they're getting, how consistent their bedtimes are, and zooming out over weeks and months rather than day to day measures of sleep, because that's when sometimes we can get individuals that obsess a little bit over those day-to-day variations.
That sounds like it's gelling with what you're saying, Donald. What is the accuracy of the data? Where is it most strong and useful?
Wow, that's complex, given the plethora of devices that we have and the amount of validity that we have in these devices. I mean, primarily, you look back at these devices, I think they measure movement primarily. So in determining whether someone is asleep depends on how the signal is processed by the device at that time. How accurate? Well, it's as accurate as if, I guess, over a period of time, if there is a change for the individual, I think. I mean, generally, they are pretty, they're all validated on a healthy population. So in that context, across the board, if someone is healthy and they're not with any chronic diseases, they're generally okay for determining how much sleep someone is getting. But in terms of what type of sleep, that's where it starts to get a little bit more messy. I think that's, yeah.
And Dean, you say that it's harder when you're trying to track someone who's a shift worker compared to someone who might sleep, quote unquote, normal times.
Yeah, absolutely. So as Donald has said there, these devices typically operate on movement, heart rate, and heart rate variability. But what they do struggle with inherently is detecting wake. So it's that difference between light sleep and restful wake that is really actually hard to measure from the wrist or the finger, because we measure sleep from the brain. And shift workers and people who may have different sleep schedules that don't typically sleep one chunk during the night present a challenge for these devices. And that's not because of its because these devices aren't good. It's just difficult to do it with the hardware that they have. So if you're a shift worker or someone who has an irregular sleep schedule, what I usually suggest is taking advantage of the ability of these devices to manually start a sleep. So go into the app and start a sleep. Don't rely on the devices to automatically detect your sleep, because understanding the limitations sort of unlocks how these devices can be used most effectively.
And I mean, what we're trying to do.
Agree more, Dan.
Yeah, go for it, Donald. If you want to chime in.
No, I just think I couldn't agree more in terms of understanding the limitations of the technology really unlocks its use, and the algorithm really is the key.
So, Dean, we're trying to make people healthier with data like this, and what it actually can do is generate anxiety. You're concerned about something that you call orthosomnia.
Yeah, orthosomnia is a term that was coined a few years back in a paper. Basically, it's the obsession over sleep data to the point where it's counterintuitive, or it's impacting an individual's sleep negatively. Naturally, there are going to be people across the population that are a bit more into their data and may feel a bit more anxious if they get a few nights of bad sleep. In those extreme cases, it's just important to know that you can take the device off if it's not serving its purpose. It's sort of just managing that yourself. So if you, as a first port of call, if you're starting to feel anxious about your sleep day to day, zoom out, look at your rolling averages over weeks. And if you're still feeling anxious about it, absolutely take the device off. You can still focus on your healthy sleep practices, like trying to maintain a consistent sleep time and getting as much 7 to 9 hours per night. And you can do that without a device. You can do that with a device. It's all really choose your own adventure. And as long as it's a positive experience for you, keep wearing it. But feel free to take it off if it's not helping.
This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and I'm talking to Dr. Dean Miller, who's a sleep and circadian scientist at CQ University, and Dr. Donald Lee, who's a respiratory and sleep physician with the Woolcock Institute. We're talking about sleep trackers. Everyone seems to have them these days. Do they actually help us have a better night's sleep? One says, when I first got my smartwatch, I regularly wore it at night, found the data interesting, but made no discernible difference to my sleep. I don't bother anymore. And this is really sweet. Another text says, I've used a sleep tracker that records noise as well as movement, mostly to prove that my husband snores more than I do. Very beautifully caught our daughter creeping into our bed one morning and whispering, I love you, mummy. So maybe there is something good in these trackers after all. Donald, if you are wearing one or not wearing one. Data aside, how can you tell if you've had a good night's sleep?
Interesting question. where would you go with that? Primarily, I think, if you're waking up feeling refreshed, that's a pretty good sign. That's a good sleep. If you're wearing one how you feel actually correlates with the score, the sleep score, or whatever the chosen metric is, I think, it gives you reassurance. But I encourage people to listen to their body, really. And if you do tend to look at the sleep score to know, to try and track, I couldn't agree with more. And I absolutely agree with Dean in the sense that that you zoom out. You're looking at averages, looking at weeks at a time or a month at a time, over a period of time, what actually happens with that metric that you've chosen. So, I mean, that's the indications.
So, Dean, what's your advice to people who are wanting to use these, get the most out of them?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's really context dependent. Donald would be working with more of a clinical population than myself. So a lot of my answers, I guess, will be rooted in a performance aspect, whether it's performance in a sporting context or in shift work. So if you are looking to want to use one of these devices for, to try and improve your sleep, just implementing the healthy sleep practices is the first port of call. And if you are getting sleep scores or proprietary scores that you don't really know what goes into them, so if you get a percentage, you don't really know what these algorithms are using to get to a certain score. But everyone knows the scale of how many hours you sleep and how consistent you sleep. So in terms of how you feel about them, I would encourage everyone, whether it's a sleep score, whether it's a recovery score, or whatever it may be that these devices are giving you, maybe acknowledge how you're feeling first in the morning before you check your data, and then make a decision whether your data aligns with that or not, and go forward based on being informed with yourself and with the tech.
Trust the tech of your brain before the tech of your watch or under your mattress. Dean, Donald, thank you both so much for joining me today. Dr. Donald Lee is a respiratory and sleep physician at the Wilcock Institute of Medical Research, and Dr. Dean Miller is a sleep and circadian scientist at CQ University. Anne said, my first fitness tracker told me 8 years ago I had a sleep problem. I had a test, found out I had a serious issue waking every 4 minutes, damage to my body from oxygen lack, and the cause of my anxiety and depression. Anne says, I now sleep a solid 8 hours and feel sane and human. Finding the cause of the problem was down to the device. I check and monitor my sleep almost every day. It saved my sanity and my life.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.